Well, I actually sort of started at the age of five, I think. My mother tried me on the piano, and it was quite clear I wasn't particularly interested at that point. I did learn to read music quite quickly because there's a video of me playing some Christmas carols at the age of 5 and a half. So and then I think we sort of stopped there and tried again a year later. And even then, I mean, I wasn't terribly interested in it. I wanted to be out doing other things. And but some friends at school started playing, and it kind of spurred me on to practice as I thought that they might catch me up and get to the same standards that I was at. So that gave me an initial impetus, and so I worked a bit harder. And I think my mother realized I had some kind of talent at the age of 8 when she gave me a piece by Chopin, one of his waltzes, and she said that I seemed to have more of an learned it very quickly and had more of an emotional understanding of the work than her older students had. So I think that's the point at which she realized that I had some kind of talent for the piano, and you know, by that point I was really enjoying playing and working harder and harder because of that.
Did you have any piano idols growing up? Any pianists from the past or the present that you looked up to, enjoyed their recordings, that kind of thing?
Yes, I mean, I've had lots of them. When I was 12, around the age of 12, I started discovering pianists of older generations, so people like Horowitz and Mazayevich and Rubinstein, Corto, very distinctive musicians who had their own kind of their own personality and their own sort of sound at the instrument, and that really appealed to me. And I've taken an interest in historical recording since then. Of living pianists, people like Stephen Huff, someone who I've always admired, and Martha Argerich and Sokolov, names like that.
Of course, Stephen Huff, not just a great pianist, but just a great mind, I feel like, for music. And
yeah, I mean, he's a wonderful guy. He's an exceptionally nice man. And a very well-rounded human being with lots of interest in many things, extremely eloquent. And it's wonderful. I've had a couple of piano lessons with him in the past, and it's they've always been helpful. I mean, it's helpful to play to performers often because they give you tips that, tips of the trade, I suppose, especially when it comes to playing with orchestras and concertos. But he just puts everything in such a wonderfully eloquent way. It's a person I have a lot of admiration for.
Well, your program coming up at Middlebury College kind of runs the gamut of many different romantic composers. I see you have some Spanish music on the program, some Mompou, the Schumann Humoresque, which I feel like you don't hear all that often, and also Nikolai Metner, another composer that I feel like has been unjustly neglected. How did you put together this program and choose the music for it?
I suppose the core of it is the longest work in the program is the Schumann Humoresque. I wanted to play one of Schumann's larger works for some time. And when I was younger, I did some smaller things like the Arbeck Variations and some of Fantasia Stück and the Piano Concerto. So I wanted to play one of his larger sets, and I went for the Humoresque. It is a work that is not often played. It's an enigmatic work, but a work that has a kaleidoscope of emotions there. So putting that in the first half, I wanted to precede it by pieces which are, I suppose, more well-known. And we have a Mendelssohn Ronda Capriccioso and a Schubert Impromptu there. And then the second half starts with something very different. I mean, I see the interval as a break, and so it's acceptable to start with something very different in the beginning of the second half. So we move to the 20th century with some Mompou, Spanish composer. And I think that piece, which is quite angular sound world, leads us quite well on to Ravel and Ravel's Valse Noble Sentimentale, which he wanted to write a set of waltzes after the example of Schubert, but whereas Schubert's waltzes are quite innocent, Ravel's is tinged with irony and postmodernism, and they were weren't very popular at their premiere in 1911. They were seen as too modern. They had this gathering where music critics were presented with lots of works by different composers, but the composers' names weren't revealed. And this piece was not reacted to. It was seen as a bit too modern for its time. And so then we end back in the 19th century again with this sticking with French music, there's transcription by Liszt of the waltz from Gounod's Faust. And as in all Liszt opera transcriptions, Liszt really sort of sums up the opera very well in the 10-minute portion of it that he uses. And you have the contrast between the innocence of Marguerite and the central section where she is singing, and the demonic quality of the outer section, and the opulence and the sort of hedonism of the waltz. So that finishes the concert with a bit of a bang, I suppose.
Yes, it certainly does. Well, what's next for you? I mean, I see you're going back to Europe in the month of November for concerts in Amsterdam and in Leipzig. But more big picture, long term, do you have any plans to maybe enter other competitions, or are you done with that? Are you going to focus more on just touring and developing new programs? What do you want to do?
Well, things seem to be going well at the moment, so hopefully I won't have to enter any competitions. I don't think it's something I'd find very pleasant at this stage.
I'm sure.
So, just touring and, you know, gradually working on building up my repertoire, playing new things. That's kind of my life at the moment.
Well, we only have, unfortunately from you, the one recording, one of your recordings, the Chopin Liszt Ravel one on Decca. I'm going to have to order the others, that's for sure. So what would you choose to finish here from your Chopin Liszt Ravel recording for us to hear now that we're done speaking? It's up to you.
Up to me.
I hope I didn't put you on the spot too much.
Ondine from Gaspar, maybe.
Okay. That's what we'll do for the first movement of Gaspar de la Nuit. Benjamin Grosvenor, thank you so much for the time. Unfortunately, I can't make it to the concert at Middlebury, but I know people will enjoy it, and all the best to you going into the future.